KQEN weather forecast from the Midas of Roseburg studio. Today, mostly sunny, a high near 70 degrees. Tonight, cloudy and 45 for a low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 72. And for the weekend, Saturday, rain and 67 degrees. Sunday, showers likely and a high near 60. Monday, mostly sunny and 70 in the forecast. 62 degrees now. KQEN News Time, 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here today as we continue exploring lots of topics, but many of them now relating to the COVID-19 pandemic that we're dealing with and sort of the local aspect of it as well, in particular. And today, Dr. Jason Gray, Chief Medical Officer for Mercy Medical Center, is with us. Dr. Gray, thanks for being on.
Hey, good afternoon, Kyle. Thank you.
So, as we have been talking about since yesterday, beginning on Monday, Mercy is going to be reopening for elective procedures and surgeries using a phased approach. Last week, of course, the governor announcing that hospitals may begin a limited reopening. I guess at the front end here, what's being done to get things ready for these changes, these things that you can go back to doing on Monday?
Lots is going on right now. We want to ensure that in accordance with the governor's recommendations and the safe public health policies, that we can provide safe access to patients who need surgeries or procedures that have been postponed, bringing back staff, cleaning the ORs again, testing, setting up our testing protocols to ensure that the patients who are performed on are negative testing for COVID.
So did you begin these preparations? Well, I guess how soon after the governor's announcement did you start making these preparations?
We actually were planning our reopening plans even before the governor released her plan on it. We had our approach to how we would open it in a phased and safe manner, what processes we would institute, and we were very pleased to see that the governor came out with some very reasonable plans on it that we will follow very closely.
Now, this begins on Monday. Technically, the rule changes tomorrow. Is it just simpler to begin on Monday?
It really is. We just wanted to make sure that everything was ready, that everything was clean, that the staff were, again, reoriented to everything. In addition, getting testing for patients that are scheduled Monday takes a few days. So that's why we just started the testing this week in anticipation of patients showing up next Monday.
So when we talk about what you're going to be doing, kind of give us some specifics of some of the services that will be going on now that haven't been for the past several weeks.
Well, what we are now able to do are some of those procedures that are classified as less emergent on that. So things such as hernias, gallbladder surgeries, gynecologic surgeries on that, hysterectomies, hysteroscopies on that, orthopedic surgeries such as carpal tunnels or podiatry surgeries. Those are the type of things that were limited prior to tomorrow that we will begin resuming. We're doing this in a phased approach, so next week we'll begin reopening some of these surgeries here at Mercy Medical Center's main operating room. The following week of the 11th, we will begin doing endoscopy procedures and some cataract surgeries and ophthalmologic surgeries. The following week, then, the remainder of the Oregon Surgery Center will be open, and we will be open for the full range of procedures, things such as total joint replacements, knee and hip replacements, colon surgeries, ENT surgeries, tonsillectomies, thyroid surgeries. The entire gamut will be fully available. Again, in a staged and safe manner, we are following what the governor has recommended as far as ensuring the patients are lower risk to begin with for COVID on that. We're ensuring that the patients are appropriately socially distanced while they're in here. In addition, we are maintaining the visitor restrictions for the time being under the governor's phase one and possibly phase two approach, which will mean that only essential visitors will be permitted. For example, if a child is having surgery, of course we would allow accompany him or her on that.
And so would that mean that, for instance, if an adult was having an elective surgery, their spouse, significant other, et cetera, would not be in at this point?
You are correct. We've set up a process where we would speak with them both before and then meet them out at the doors afterwards to ensure that they were updated on how the procedure went, specific discharge and follow-up instructions, any medication information, follow-up appointment information would all be relayed to them in that manner. And additionally, we would ensure that we have an active and working cell phone that we could immediately reach any family members at any time.
So talk about ramping up. I guess it probably was something like this. You can't just walk in and flip a switch and you know, be back to where you were a few weeks ago just that quickly.
You're right. Part of this is the surgeons and the physicians need to have time to see the patients in their office, to evaluate them, to get them on the schedule. On that, we wanted to make sure that the operating rooms that we were not using were thoroughly disinfected and cleaned. They were restocked, that the staff had time to come back and get reoriented if necessary on that. That's why we've taken an incremental, a bit slower approach to starting with lower risk surgeries to begin with and then ramping up over a period of 3 weeks up to all surgeries, including the more complex surgeries like total joints and total knee replacements on that. Again, we are definitely erring on the side of caution and patient safety, ensuring that the governor's directions and at the same time we're monitoring the public health conditions to ensure that there is not a spike in COVID patients in our community. If there were to be, we'd reevaluate and we could address that or even stop elective surgeries if we had to respond appropriately.
Well, this has been probably quite a challenging situation to deal with, not doing a number of surgeries for a period of time. And I imagine you can't really catch up, but it's going to be a long process for people who've been waiting for some of these procedures.
Oh, it really has. And we feel the disappointment on those patients not being able to have their procedures they planned for, they prepared for, they were expecting on that. And, you know, that's impacted not only our patients in the community, it's impacted the staff who are members of our community and having their hours decreased. So we're very excited that we have this opportunity to begin to ramp back up again safely to benefit our community and also our staff. And if there is an overwhelming surge of elective patients that want to come back, we are here and we will ramp up our hours accordingly.
And obviously a lot of logistics you have to deal with, the hospital operating room schedules, but all your normal communications with the providers and all of that. So I presume it's been a very busy week there.
It has. We are in contact with our providers and with the surgical services management team and the PMO, which is a group of the surgeons and anesthesiologists and administrators that help direct our surgical services constantly. So we are all planning all the time to ensure that this goes well. Again, a surgery is a very important and a very critical event, and we have to make sure it goes correctly and appropriately.
I mentioned a couple of weeks ago talking about the term elective surgery. The first thing that I think of, you know, is something that maybe you didn't have to do, but you wanted to do just because, you know, I think maybe about, I don't know about specific procedures, but just about things that maybe somebody wants to, operate on and improve their life a little bit. But when you say elective, it doesn't mean that these folks haven't been having some health issues because they haven't been able to get surgery. You know, in some cases, their condition has been declining waiting for this.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct on it. It really is an interpretation of elective. Elective could mean, like you're saying, it's a cosmetic procedure on that. What we're finding, though, is many of our patients had procedures which they had been planning for. Maybe it's a knee arthroscopy. Maybe it's to repair an injury that isn't life-threatening right now, but by waiting a month or 2 months or 3 months, they've become deconditioned in other ways. Or it was a heart procedure in which we really need to know or to have a heart blockage opened before something more serious and more critical occurs.
Now, talk about the COVID-19 testing prior to elective surgeries. How will all that be handled?
So prior to elective surgeries, patients will be required to come to our pre-op clinic here at Mercy Medical Center, where a full history and physical is taken. In addition, the patient will be required to have COVID testing. That involves a very slender, narrow Q-tip, which is swabbed in the back part of the nose. That is then sent off to a various number of labs, and we usually get the results back within 24 to 48 hours on that. That is testing for the presence of the COVID virus, which I called the SARS-CoV-2 virus on that. We want to ensure that any non-emergent surgery, the patient is free of the COVID virus at the time of surgery.
So will that mean, like, for instance, if you had surgery, let's say next Wednesday on the schedule right now, would you be coming in and doing the COVID testing and then going into surgery, or would you, well, you would have to wait for the test to come back, obviously. So would you come in on one day for the testing, come back on a different day for the procedure?
Correct. You will on that. We want to ensure the testing is done within 4 days of the date of the surgery on that. Just due to logistics of the time it takes to get the test results back, it really is about a day or two on that.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Dr. Jason Gravy, Chief Medical Officer for Mercy Medical Center. The interview will be a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Back in a couple minutes, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Later today, KQEN Local Talk at 4. Northwest Wine Radio, Brian Calvert looking at wine, beer, and spirits around the Northwest. And State Senator Floyd Prezansky will be on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Today, it's Dr. Jason Gray, Chief Medical Officer for Mercy Medical Center in Roseburg, talking about Mercy reopening for elective procedures and surgeries beginning on Monday. Dr. Gray, somebody asked me earlier today, just what does a chief medical officer do? And I thought I'd ask you about that.
You know, my role is ultimately responsible for the quality of services delivered here, coordinating the actions of the medical staff along with the rest of the administrative functions on that. You know, in short, I want to make sure that I would feel comfortable having a procedure here or having my family members have a procedure here. If I can assure that, I can assure you and the rest of the public that it's safe.
Now, how long have you been in this role at Mercy?
You know, I've been in this role now about 7 years. Been here in the community as an anesthesiologist for 19 years now, and got a chance to continue on in graduate school again and come back and got this role in 2011.
And did you begin, had you lived in Roseburg prior to working here?
I had not. My wife, Dr. Andrea Gray, grew up in Roseburg, and she was very interested in returning back to Roseburg for her ophthalmology practice, and I came the year after I graduated.
Interesting. So you've been here for quite a while then.
Almost 20 years now.
Wow. So in this role, obviously with all of this going on, it's a big responsibility with COVID-19 and keeping everybody safe.
You know, it has been, and I've been really pleased how everyone in the hospital, the providers, the nurses, all of our staff, along with the community, has really risen together to provide the necessary supplies, the safety, the understanding on that, and it just shows the expertise, the resources, and the community spirit that we have here.
And I remember, I want to say it was about a week into the current situation and the current restrictions, some of the law enforcement and first responder, fire folks kind of did a little drive-by parade through the parking lot even.
That was very appreciated by the majority of the staff.
And for looking ahead to Monday, does this mean that you're working on some additional safety protocols around the hospital, or was everything already pretty much in place for this?
Well, we really had pretty much all of the safety protocols set up at this point. You know, we're continuing with our screening of all patients and visitors before they come in. Staff are screened. Staff are masked anytime they're in direct patient contact. All of those have already been established. Again, really ensuring the operating rooms are thoroughly cleaned, disinfected, stocked. You know, the biggest change is the screening of all surgical patients or procedural patients for COVID prior to their procedures on that. Again, it's our commitment to be able to assure the public that we can safely care for you here at Mercy, at the same time maintaining the capabilities to respond to any potential COVID surge that should occur on it. Hopefully it won't, and I think the public health and the county commissioners have done a very good job here leading that charge on it. You know, my other thing I'd like to just impress upon is if you had a procedure which was delayed or canceled, please contact your provider's office in the next few days and talk to him or her about when you can be seen and potentially get back on the operating or the procedure schedule.
And I imagine based on what you said earlier, too, folks may not be in the same place in the line as maybe they were earlier.
So as far as procedures, again, following the governor's orders, you know, emergency procedures are done first. Procedures of higher urgency, like a fractured ankle would go up there on it. We are then giving priority to those procedures which were delayed or canceled next. Following that would be newly scheduled procedures on that. So we want to try and accommodate those who were inconvenienced in the past and get those taken care of as soon as possible.
Obviously, not being able to do all these for a number of weeks has had a big impact on the personnel and the folks working and not working or working less at Mercy.
It has. It has led to a lot of low census episodes for staff here. If we look at many of our staff have had hours cut between 10 to 50%. The majority of the staff and administrative staff, including our physicians and providers, have taken pay cuts during this time period. So we're really excited to be able to bring back staff, get more hours back to our staff as we can. How quickly we can do that really depends upon how many surgeries and how many we're able to accommodate and how many patients want to get back on the surgery schedule.
Any idea in this first week or so how many staff that you're going to be giving more hours to?
Again, really hard to predict. We've already started giving more hours to many of the staff as we're doing these pre-preparations and restocking and cleaning on that, bringing some nurses in. To begin with, I think what you'll see is at least 20 staff members will have hours increased as we begin to ramp this up. And I'm really hoping that as we get back to the third week into this, the week of May 18th, we will have many more of our staff back. There are some staff, for example, physical therapy, that are dependent, though, upon the surgeries being done before the patients make it to their office on that. So this will be a phased approach, starting with simpler, lower-risk procedures and then gradually expanding that over the next 3 weeks to accommodate all procedures and surgeries, not only surgeries, but also other exams that may have been delayed, such as mammograms or cardiac studies on it, making sure all those, the public knows, all those are up and available now.
And have you ever experienced in your medical career anything quite like this situation?
You know, I have not. This has been hopefully a once-in-a-career event. We look back 10 years ago to the H1N1 influenza concern. Again, not near to the degree of imposition across the country on such a large scale. One of the things that this shows is that we and this community and the community partners have been able to come together and stand up the resources for whether it be COVID this time, or who knows what in the future, that we can pull together to treat the community as needed.
And talk about how important you think that is for groups that are normally doing their own thing, if you will, to be all cooperating together in this.
Oh, it's been tremendous. It really has shown the cooperation together. You, from the county commissioners to Aviva Health to the incident commanders to the public sewing masks for us, to all of the clinics, the veterinary clinics, the dental clinics that were able to loan or donate equipment and come together. It's truly been amazing. Think of the integration with the first responders, the police and the EMS on that, and the skilled nursing homes and the foster homes. It's all been one coordinated event overseen and led by the Public Health Committee on that. I want to give kudos to Dr. Dannenhofer and his team. They have really put in the hours and showed good leadership to the entire community.
All right, out of time for today, Dr. Jason Gray, the Chief Medical Officer for Mercy Medical Center, reopening for elective procedures and surgeries, phasing in an approach starting Monday. Dr. Gray, thanks for being on.
Hey, thank you very much.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.